with the Westboro Fire Department until 1973. He joined in 1932 and was named the first fire chief in 1968.
And he would respond, but you didn't go out like you do today, you know. It's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
People went to the hospital, either they went by their car or somebody took them by.
Their
it wasn't like it, vehicle. Nothing like it is today.
Okay.
And then,
we had during the day, after the, you had six men on at night. Who would be on during the day, let's say in the 30s? How many? Again?
Nobody on.
Just
the man, the one man, Ed Hogan.
So that if there was a fire during the day, then that if it was a serious one, what if it needed two or three men?
There was always men around the station. There was never no need to be looking around for men.
They hung around
and they were close by, and they worked in the store down the street. He'd get on the street and just toot the siren or ring the bell, and they'd come running out, and two or three. You never had any problem with getting help.
Oh, that's good. All right. And the guys that hung around the station, though, had they retired?
Well, they would come and go, stop in and talk, and they wouldn't make a day of it. You know what I mean? They just drop in, and occasionally.
Sounds like a good place to talk and to
find
out what's going on in town.
Yeah, they'd meet there. You know, they'd come and go during the day, and
most everybody worked in town at that point, so that, as you say, if you put out a call, they could hear it immediately and stop. They didn't work in Boston and Worcester and...
No, if they did, they went by train and,
sure.
If they would. But anyway,
the common,
there was plenty around. They worked in town, that's
okay.
True.
Now, how did you see the fire station and the fire department change over the years that you were there? Now, they went from having these guys just at night to a permanent fire?
The permanent firemen, they started in, I forgot now,
there were still long
43, what am I talking about? Get out of 46.
Right.
43, there's still that, I think there's still only Ed there.
Okay.
And when I went overseas in 44, early in April, March or April, I forgot now when I went overseas, he had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they hired Jim Parker's father at the time. And then later on, they hired another one.
No, they weren't called chief particularly. They were just the day man.
They were just a firefighter.
They were
a permanent firefighter.
The permanent firefighter, yeah.
That's right.
But just one of them.
And he was replaced, I think, with Jim Parker, William Parker. I always call him.
So they're still the same
one? Still the same thing, still one. And then later on they hired... Harry Woodman came on as a permanent man.
So they went to two.
Went to two. And then later on, Francis Bulger came on and went to three.
Do you have any idea when that was? Was it the 50s, you think?
I remember everything happened, but I don't know what the years
were. Yeah, that's right.
You just have to say, you have to go on rotation, you know what I mean? As time went on,
increased to three. Now you had four trucks. What kind of trucks were they? They were just, how were they
three,
different?
Three. There were three pumpers and a ladder.
And were they much different from what they have now?
Oh yeah.
How? How were they different?
Well, none of them are this. There's none of them there that were there when I was.
Okay.
I mean, I bought, when I was on, put on, when I was chief, I bought the ladder truck and I think it was two pumpers.
Okay. When you came on as chief, did you replace?
I replaced, no. Yes.
Okay.
And the car.
And how are they changed now, though? They are very, when in those days, the pumper, they're basically You have any trouble getting water in those days? Water pressure? I know they built the tank up there.
Well, in 1947, I believe, is when we had the big fire at the hat shop, at the underwear shop fire. I think that was in 47.
Yeah, March, it was March 47.
March in 47.
Tell me about that, Rocco. What do you remember? How did that happen? It was right near the fire station.
What?
How did it start?
We've had fires there previous in the picking room. What they call the picking room. It was rope in there that they used to make stuffing for automobile seats.
All right.
They'd get all this navy rope, you know, this down in the Navy Yard and stuff like that, and it would be all chewed up. And this picker, I guess, picked it, you know, fluffed it all up, whatever it might have done. And if there was a nail in it or any piece of metal, it would strike and make a spark, and it would set that stuff on fire.
Okay. Now, was this down at the basement? I know this is a big factory, and
that's right. It was in the back end. It was that picking room was on the back end of the original old hat shop.
Now, so some of it was used for hats upstairs.
No, there was nothing else in there. Then, I'll take that back. There was, sure. There was a machine shop there.
And was there shoes on?
No, there was no. The shoe shop was on the other factory, what we call the underwear factory.
Okay,
that was a shoe shop there. The next building to it.
Okay. Rasmussen, supposedly, was that the Rasmussen?
Well, no. Rasmussen was the hat shop.
No, but it wasn't going on during the fire, or had
no.
It stopped? All right. Okay. So in that building, when it started fire, was just this hemp automobile?
Yes.
Now, where was this building exactly? Is it right on the corner of...
Did you ever see a picture of that? Never see that picture of that complex?
Yes, I did, but to get an idea of where it actually is, when in my head, is it right where VR is now?
Well, that's where the VR is where the underwear was.
All right, and one was
behind it
on Phillips Street.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
It's hard to realize there were two big buildings when you look at that small patch in there, that small plot of land. But if you had a blank paper, I'd draw it out to you. So
yeah, it just makes a big hole in the ground.
And this is Milk Street. And Crown Phillip. The underwear building was... I forgot how long it was.
It was a big four-story, five-story.
And
they made underwear, and upstairs
they
had...
Well, it was a curtain factory, lace curtain, and... there used to be a trunk and bag factory there. They used to make handbags, you know. Yeah, there were different times, different things.
Different things in that factory.
And this, the hat shop, I believe, came...
Behind that.
At a slight angle. Now, how would that be? It would come... But yet it was flush with the road. It wasn't... I think it was a slight... angle there.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed it was straight with the Phillips Street. Yeah.
So, anyway,
it was, let's put it this way here. This was the straw shop, the hat shop, call that.
Now, were they making, they had before.
This day, they had the, they were moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hemp place here, the real place was back in here. Back end of the building.
Now, was the rest
there was
the
another down here in the basement. I remember before that fire, the guy was saying, "Oh, my tools, my dyes are all going to get wet." And I forgot what outfit it is.
Some kind of machine shop.
It was some sort of a machine shop there. And then finally, they took all their stuff out while it was available, while they had the time to do it. But anyway, when I went there, there wasn't much of a fire. The chief Spinney was Spinney then.
Mm-hmm.
Winsome Spinney. And so I helped these guys get their stuff out. I had another fireman with me, and I told him to get a blanket maybe, put over some of this stuff. not knowing what's happened here, because there was very little smoke.
All right. You thought you had already put it out?
Well, I didn't think it was out, but I didn't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So after I left there, I tried to get through, and it was petitioned off here, because they made this room here. They were going to sort of fireproof that room, and they were going to move in there that Friday. But anyway, they had this barricade here, and I couldn't get through.
Into
that part there, because I'd gone through before, other fires. And when I come out, I met the chief, and he says the fire is broken out on the second floor.
Oh. Was there anything up on the second floor then?
I don't think there was.
Okay, it was a big empty factory.
That's right.
The first floor building.
Right.
Okay.
And he told me the fire had broken out. So from then on, that was it.
Really?
This fire here, the prevailing winds are from the west.
Mm-hmm.
This building here caught fire. After a while, I got caught. There was the engine room, the boiler room, was the first floor. So I came up, went up the stairs, and I met the chief, and he told me what happened. So I went out, stepped out of a window on this floor here, a roof of a boiler room,
mm-hmm.
and told the fellas, let's have everything we got, which wasn't much. Now, what I'm getting at is, we had the old system in town, which perhaps 60 pounds pressure would be the best, but the pressure doesn't mean anything. If you've got the pumps, you can boost your pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the pipes are all sort of tuberculin encrusted, you know, with rust. And as a matter of fact, there's only, the capacity of water was only for one truck. After that, the town went dry. You couldn't turn a faucet on.
Oh, incredible. So that you could...
You wouldn't get no water, because that one truck would take all the water that there was in town.
How did you, if you had three pumpers, how did you get them all?
They didn't. We had pumpers coming in from Worcester, Shrewsbury, Marlboro, from all surrounding towns, and we had no place, there's no water for them. There wasn't even water for our own, never mind them fellas. But they had booster tanks that probably held 70 or 80 gallons of water, which they put on roofs, you know,
mm-hmm. So what happened was that this spread from this hat shop, although there were no hats right then at that point, to the next building. Is that right?
Yeah, see,
the winds took
come
over,
along, and this factory here went down before this one.
Oh, the underwear factory.
Because it was fed by the heat from this building.
And now, were there quite a few people working in the underwear factory?
Yes, in the underwear, there's a shoe shop there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm confused now. Rasmus, was that the name of the shoe, or was that the hat?
I think it was the... Sure.
Rasmussen, I think, was the straw, I think so.
Okay, but was that the one that was in the underwear building, though, Rasmussen, do you think? The underwear had a lot of people sewing on machines, and they were making...
Yes, and the shoe shop was here.
It was in the underwear factory.
I think the shoe shop occupied two floors.
Okay.
I think it did.
And you had enough time to get everybody out, obviously.
They just barely got out in the second building. They didn't think it was going to go, you know. And some of them got back to get their belongings, you know. They just made it downstairs because the heat, for me, after once broke through the windows on this one here, you know, some of them just barely escaped out and made it.
Huh. Okay, so that happened pretty fast then.
Oh, yeah.
Was it during the day? It must have been.
The fire?
Yeah, when the fire.
Oh, yes.
That's okay. Afternoon, morning? There were still full people working, though. It wasn't like...
Oh, yeah. No, the place was in full capacity. I mean, wherever they hire, you know.
So then you got as many of the Westboro trucks as you could get, but you still couldn't get a lot of water, right?
The Westbrook trucks didn't do any good any more than anybody else because there's only water for one. We only had two lines on that fire. One was protecting the house next to the fire station, which is torn down now.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, there was a home. We were protecting that house. The station caught on fire.
The station caught
on
fire?
Yes, right in the valley of the roof. Sparks got down in the valley and started the tar, the pitch in the, and it cracked the window in the bedroom that I was sleeping in.
Oh, goodness.
And in order to say, if we had another fire downtown, that would have been the end of Westboro.
Because
you had no... Now, we were protecting this house here next to the station. The station is here,
yeah.
And this house here, from the heat from this fire here, to protect this house here from burning.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one line here and one line over here.
Onto the other.
There was another house here that burned down that had no business burning, but we had no water to...
That's terrible, Rocky. What if at that time, as you say, what if not just in this fire, but there were two fires at the same time in town? Could you put both of them out?
We did have another fire. We did have another fire up in Mount Pleasant, but it was a barn. But we had water. There was at Fales' house, but right across the street there was a place where it floods. You know, and there's water there. And we drafted water from there. And because I took the chief from South Road down, show him where the fire was. You know, we also had another call right where the professional building was before they renovated that. Mm-hmm. That was the trellis shop.
That's right close to
yeah.
All this other
that's
fire.
Right across the station there.
Yeah.
And they had a motor fire there at the time, but it was nothing that if that building had broke out.
You couldn't handle it, huh?
We couldn't have. We
didn't
have no water.
That's why.
But during the time of the fire, this new system was under construction. The ground had been broken, you know.
Sure, that was the big water tank up on.
That's
Eagle
right.
Street,
yeah,
right?
And the whole new pipes in the street, a whole new system.
Oh, that's too bad. So that was tragic, because if only it was like a year later or 8 months later.
This building here.
Now, you got this one burning. The underwear factory's burning.
I want to tell you something about this building here. The hat shop was sprinkled, but you couldn't get no water for the sprinklers because we were taken with the pump.
Mm-hmm.
This factory here, the underwear factory, had a big long pipe at the top of the roof right on this side here. To spray water down in case if this building ever did get on fire, and it had a pipe where you could put your hose on, an
mm-hmm.
outlet, right at the bottom of the building there. We had no water to put in that to make a curtain. It would form
sure
a water curtain, and it would protect this building, but you didn't have the water for it.
That's terrible. So that you had the equipment, and really the system, but no water.
The thing was, the lack was the greatest thing, was water, and were licked.
And mostly you think because of the condition of the pipes, that they were so So then you called out to other neighboring fire departments. They brought in their pumpers with tanks.
Well, they come. They're on the tank anyway.
Yeah.
The tank is part of the equipment. But the tanks then weren't as big as they are today. And them days, the tanks, we had a 100-gallon tank on a Model A. At the time, we thought it was a great thing to have 100 gallons, because
mm-hmm.
generally carry a booster tank was 40 or 50 gallons. Today, you got tanks that's 500 gallons.
Okay.
Trucks are constructed different. They got the power to pull them. Them days, you didn't have the power. A truck couldn't carry that much.
So your trucks had how many 100-gallon tanks on them?
Well, one of them did.
Mm-hmm. And what were the other ones?
The other was 40.
This is the pumpers you're talking
about?
Yeah.
The 100-gallon was on the forest fire truck.
Okay. So how long did it take to put this one out in Westboro?
Well, how long did it take to wait before it burned out?
It burned out.
Didn't put it out. We didn't put nothing out. All we done was just put out the smoldering ashes.
Oh,
we didn't put it out at all.
And that's
there was
why.
Nothing left standing.
You protected some of the houses
we
around.
We protected the air. That's all you could do. We protected the house next to the fire station, because if that got going, the station would have gone.
Yeah.
really gone then.
Yeah, that is really something.
Well, you can see how hot the fire was. The fire station, the window on that side, on the fire side, cracked from the heat.
It was terrific. Yeah, and so the firemen were up in roofs, were they, or people were, what were people doing this time around? Were they trying to put water on their own houses, or at all? There wasn't enough water to put on their roofs, I would guess. But let's say people who lived nearby, or were there...
Well, these other departments took care of that.
Okay.
Departments that came in. The two ones, Worcester, Shrewsbury, Marlboro, they emptied their booster tanks and all the roofs around, you know.
All right, that's what
that's what they did.
Now, were they afraid the middle of town was going to go? And was that when they moved some of the records from town hall way up?
Well, it could be. I don't know what they done. You know, you were busy.
You were busy.
I don't know what did go on, you know. But a lot could have happened.
Do you have any idea how many towns came in to help, or how many trucks?
Oh, God, there was every town around here. I forgot.
Although they were brick buildings, they just went, though. They was just...
I think what did do a lot of saving was we had... There was a little bit of snow on the ground. I think there was a little bit of patchy spots of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped a lot.
To prevent it from spreading too? Yeah.
I think we had that sort of condition.
And how many days then, or how long did it take to burn out?
It was quite, we poured water on after, you know, to thing, but you know, it smoldered quite a while.
Couple days
though? Oh, sure. A fire like that, you got such a heap of ashes there that, so a fire like that would smolder for a long time, you know?
Yeah. So that, it wasn't ever under control then, was it?
Never under that fire. It was never under control.
That's great to think of.
It's a good thing it wasn't one of those howling winds, you know?
Sure, that would have swept right through.
Oh.
Was that the biggest fire you remember? That was the biggest fire Westboro has had, I think.
No.
No? What do you remember?
I remember when I was a little...
Did you grow up in Westboro?
Yeah, I was born here.
Okay, when were you born?
1908.
Okay, now you can tell me what you remember from 1908 on Good Fires.
Oh, well... Don't put that in the paper that I was born 1908. Nobody knows my age.
I won't tell.
I won't
okay,
say...
Okay, you're 23.
I won't... Single...
But tell me what fires you remember as a kid, and what do you
the mean? Fire down to the fire down at where the the fire is down to where between
the Bay State
building, recreation mm-hmm. building, and Tacy's Diner.
That was
there were two big factories there.
That was called the Bernard Straw Factory.
Yeah, and that's
National Straw Works.
There's a lace curtain, what's his name,
Was that where the lace curtain was?
There was a lace curtain factory there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know the author's name.
Well,
it doesn't make any difference. I know, I just can't think
right.
of his...
I think that was like 1917?
1917.
Okay. And what do you remember?
1918 or 17, I forgot now what it was.
And what do you remember of it?
Well, I remember it was on Columbus Day. And I remember that the Westboro Fire Department had come back from a muster in Ashland, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were marching up towards the station with the cup. They had won a cup. Them days, when you won a cup in a competition, you had to earn it.
Yep.
It isn't like today. They hand out these things, you know, all these plaques. They go to a store where they sell these things. They just hand out. Them days, it was real competition, mm-hmm. you know. There was no fooling around. It was a serious thing.
So they were marching up the street.
That afternoon, I remember, they had come back late that afternoon. They had come back from, I believe it was Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... you know, they were marching two by two up the station, and the first two were holding the cup. You know, it was a big thing
mm-hmm.
then. And that night, I remember the lamp came in, and I looked out the window, and I could see the fire and the light in the sky.
Living here?
No, not here. Just up another over on Carter Street.
Okay.
And my bedroom was up on the second floor, and I could see the flames and the light, you know. And then after a while, it went down.
It must have lit up the sky. That was
it
a
did.
Big factory.
Yeah. Well, this is at the infancy of the fire. I'm talking about right
at the beginning.
Early part
okay.
of it. Then it sort of died down, and you know, I thought that, I was only a kid, that thing was going out, and then it finally flared up again, and it flared, and it flared, and...
That was straw hats,
and
right?
that was,
Is that full of straw, that
I don't know. I don't
they
know
made
what,
straw hats.
Yeah,
there,
but
so.
I don't know what was, It didn't have to be full of anything with the size building it was. That would create,
Big wooden building, I think, was it? I saw some pictures of something.
I've got the pictures. I've got pictures somewhere, and,
So that was a big fire, though.
Oh, yes. That was all those stores.
That whole block?
That whole block. There was a store right where there was a block. There was a building right where Dacey's Diner is. There was the two factories, and then next to where, right next to where the Bay State Recreation Building is, there was the Westboro Hotel, or the Westboro Inn. Now, I'm confused which was...
This was where the Westboro Hotel. That was
the Westboro Inn. Yes. And these things were all occupied, you know, all full, the Westboro Hotel and the, I think where the Dacey's Diner was in that building there was the, I think the Electric Light Office was there, and I think A&P Store was there.
Okay.
And then there was an upstairs to it, because there's a two-story building.
And that all went down in that fire?
Oh, yes.
And the
whole
hotel,
thing.
Too? Did anybody lose their lives? Anybody? No.
No, everything went.
Now, was the fire department, did they have a truck at that point, or were they doing...
In 1918, I think they got the first pumper was in 1918. The first truck they got was in 1914. It was a Brockway.
Okay. So they had a truck.
And they had a truck, yeah. And I think the steamer was still active then. You know,
the
horse-drawn steamer.
How did the steamer work? As a horse-drawn...
Well, it's horse-drawn, yes.
Yeah. And when
it's steam-powered, you get a boiler on it, it would heat the water, would make steam, and the pressure from the steam activate the pistons, you know, and it's like a regular steam engine. And to that, there's a pump connected.
All right. And that pumps the water up.
That pumps the water. I can remember when they got the new truck, they had a competition between the steamer and the new pumper, and I think the steamer put out more water. I think I can remember that. I was only a kid because I used to go to the firemen's musters at that time, you know, and then when they had drills, you know, every year. And I think that the one day that they did have, there was a muster here in town, and they competed the steam with the a 1918 Maxim truck pumper. It was a 500-gallon pumper, I believe.
What activated the pumper? How did that work? Is that a...
What do you mean, on the truck?
Yeah.
The engine. Your
engine,
engine in your
regular
car.
Engine. Okay.
You're not very mechanic.
I'm not all mechanical. You can tell that. What makes it work? I don't... Okay.
No, you see, on the pumper, it's run by the engine on the truck, you
all
know,
right.
which...
Generation.
You throw into gears and... And it activates the pump, you know.
Okay.
And,
but then
the steamer job was steam. Is a steam engine,
steam powered,
you know, that run the pump and that.
But those are pulled by the horses.
Oh yeah, the steam was pulled by horses.
Did we have? Do you have any idea how many steamers we had back then?
One.
Just one steamer.
Nobody today knows where whatever happened to it.
And our firehouse was built to fit the steamers and the horses.
Oh, yeah.
The steamers, yeah, that 1889 one. All right, now, when you were a kid, what do you remember about fireman's musters?
Well, all right,
when
I get back to this while I think of it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and the fire alarm blew, the first piece of apparatus out was a hand-drawn reel. It was a big reel on two wheels, you know?
Okay.
And they grabbed that and they'd run to the fire with it.
And then the hose
rolled up, yes. And that was operated by people.
Well, the people would grab it.
They'd grab the shaft on that two-wheel thing, you know, mm-hmm. and a long shaft on it and the handles on it, and they'd pull that to the fire. They'd run to the fire with that. And then the rest was the steamer. The steamer was horse-drawn. The Curtis hose was horse-drawn. The Chauncey hose was horse-drawn. The ladder truck was horse-drawn. All these horse-drawn
You say Curtis vehicles. Hose and Chauncey?
Chauncey, yeah.
Are they just trucks with...
There were bodies. There were teams. Mm-hmm. These weren't trucks. These were teams with hose on them.
Like carts?
Carts,
carts,
yeah.
With hoses?
Yeah.
Now, where'd they get
a team? Really is a horse and a cart is what makes a team.
Oh, is that what makes a team? All right. I thought two horses made a team. Okay, Cartman.
Well, a team of horses would make that.
All right.
But I mean...
You have to put a cart with it, too. Now, they're carrying hose. Where are they getting their water?
From the steamer.
From the steamer. So that they attach these hoses from the carts to the steamer.
See, in 1980...